This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. It is indeed a pleasure evening. It's always a pleasure. And I think what's important is that we look at what's happening in our society. I think we should take a good look at the mental flow, our mental capacity, and think about long-term effects and the things that we do with and on each other and how they perpetuate a different type of outcome. So I'm in a book club, right? And it's a group of very, very well-rounded women. Some of us live extremely different lives. Some of us are different economic bracket. Some of us are in different relationship brackets. Some of us are divorced. Some of us are single. Some of us are not married. Some of us may never, ever get married for whatever reason. And maybe marriage isn't the ultimate goal. But nevertheless, we are in a book club and we share our experiences in life. It didn't start out to do this, mind you. The book club was supposed to be just for books. And somehow or the other, our lives spill into each other. Now, everybody may not share in the group the way everybody else shares, right? But we still share nonetheless. And a comment was made, and I will give you the roundabout version of what exactly was said. And in essence, it was that sometimes we may need to ask for help, but we have great trepidation because of how people may view us, because we're not sure of the people that we ask if they will see us in the right way. Someone in the chat said that perhaps we have to ask for the spirit of discernment. Everybody's religious or beliefs are different. And so discernment may not come, but if you're in a circle of women, you'll think that the women will help you to get to another level, or they will elevate you. And sometimes you have to turn your back on the audience to focus on the orchestra. So today's show is dedicated to the one and only T.S. She knows who she is. She's beautiful. I've never come across a woman that knows everything about everything. And she doesn't know everything about everything in like a condescending way. She will help you. She will give you all of the information. She's not a gatekeeper. I'm a woman of a particular age, and so I ask questions about vitamins and health and relationships and sex and all of these other things. And she always knows the right thing. She will guide you to Amazon and tell you what to get. She's an avid reader. She's a mom. She has a daughter as well. And sometimes when I have like things I need to find out from my own daughter, I ask her, because her daughter is a big girl now. And I think that women like that are amazing. But what stops us from asking for help? And so that brought me to my show today. And the show is for us to have that open dialogue, that conversation about why it's so hard for us to ask for help. what does it mean if you need help? I mean, my inbox is full. And so, good evening, Beyond Our Health. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am so, your voice.
So good to be here again. I love it.
I love when you're on the show because I'm going to have to ask Chris for 8 o'clock. I can already feel it. I can already feel it. Now, I want you to introduce yourself to the Bahamas and let them know what it is that Beyond Our Health actually does, please.
Not a problem. So good evening, everyone. My name is Raquel Curry. I am the founder and the owner of Beyond Our Health. Beyond Our Health is an online platform that seeks to bridge the gap between mind and body wellness. So essentially, it's a network of providers here in the capital who are giving you therapy, like mental health therapy. There's speech therapists on there. There are massage therapists, personal trainers. This is a platform of people that bring together that blend of mind and body wellness under one beautiful roof, as well as having access to resources, local entities that would give you more herbal healing supplements, stuff like that. If you're interested, it's www.beyondourhealth.com.
Now, Ms. Curry, I have deemed you Dr. Curry because I just always assumed that you were Dr. Curry. And the reason why is because I think that your education, your speaking, your dialogue, it just comes from such a healthy place. And you see, you speak and people listen. I take advantage of your TikToks as well. And mm-hmm. I want to tell you thank you because I still haven't quite gotten my pattern ready available yet in terms of sleep. And so I see your TikToks and they're informative.
Yes, I try.
But tell me something in your tenure, mm-hmm. why do you think that people, Bahamians, are so reluctant to ask for help?
So I think you kind of touched on it, and I was very happy that you brought it up a little bit. When you first started talking, one of the things that I see the most is that fear of judgment, the most out the gate, fear of judgment, because many people worry about others, what others would think about them, right? Will they see me as weak, incompetent, broken, unable, soft? And that fear of being judged is usually what keeps us silent, even when we're struggling, right? There's many reasons why people don't ask for help, but that seems to be the number one reason why people often shy away from asking for help.
So when you say asking for help, right, because asking for help, the verb, the noun, or the adjective, if you say asking for help, when I think of asking for help, is it only in the terms of mental health? Is it in the terms of seeking help to make you better? Because as I see it, therapy is ongoing. Tell me what the parameters are.
I find that people have issues asking for help in general. It's not just only mental health help. And of course, that's always going to be my focus because that's the field I'm in. But when we get to those discussions and we get to having more deeper conversation around how their mental health is going and what they see in their own patterns, it's usually just across the board, I have a difficulty asking for help. I don't want to burden other people, right? And if I ask for help, I don't even know what I want to ask for. Or the other part of it is past negative experiences, right? If someone has asked for help before and has been ignored, dismissed, or shamed, it makes them hesitant to try again, right? So it's almost across the board, whether that's cooking, cleaning, taking care of the child, in the office, in the family. A lot of people have their own internal struggles with asking for help. But when it comes to mental health in that space, I find it's more so the judgment, right? And the illusion of I should handle it by myself. Or as many Bahamians feel, this sense of pride and independence that I should be able to be strong enough to handle this on my own. Because once you admit you need help, you feel like you're giving up some sense of control. And that's not the truth now, is it?
It isn't the truth, but can I tell you something? One of the questions that are in the inbox is, does asking mean I've lost control? And I can say for me, right, when my mom left, I I jumped into the mode of, okay, I have to plan, I have to this, like get it done. Mm-hmm. But it's almost a year and 8 months later, right? And you still haven't really fully, no, not a year and 8 months later, it's a year, March, April, May, June, July, August, a year and 5 months later. And you still, I still have not got a good handle on it. Because you, when you're asking for help, you're asking like, does this mean that I'm less than? Does it mean that I, mm-hmm. I cannot manage? Does this mean that I'm not equipped? But is there such a thing, Ms. Curry, as functioning depression or just you of avoidance? Like you, I avoid every single thing because I don't want to deal with that.
Yes. So you said functioning avoidance, right?
Yes.
Because you don't want to deal with feeling weak or being seen as weak.
Both.
You know, the loss of control can make a lot of people feel like the other side of that. So it's almost like from one extreme to the next, right? If I immediately lose control, then I'm weak. But that's not what asking for help is. And so that active avoidance keeps you stuck in this internalized dialogue that to bring someone else into this atmosphere immediately means that I'm weak, right? So we put so much importance on being independent that the aspect of, I don't know, like just community or like bringing people together, we've moved away from community, right, to independence. And so if I'm being an independent person, I don't want to ask for help. I'm going to avoid it by every means necessary because I think that if I bring somebody else in, it shows a level of incompetence. And again, that's not true, right? So this active avoidance is keeping you stuck in the mindset and the mentality that you're incompetent. And that's not true.
Let me read these texts. If I lean on someone, will they think less of me? Real men don't ask for help, or do they? Sometimes women are harder on each other than anyone else. What if my vulnerability becomes their entertainment? And so these last two questions right here. Sometimes women are harder on each other than anyone else. And what if my vulnerability becomes their entertainment? And I think for me, right, I can relate to these two questions because I think that women are harder on each other. Like you and I will want the exact same things. We want someone to love us. We want someone to treat us like hot tea and make sure that we're very delicate and love us and be there for us. And we want the best for our children. Or someone else sees another woman and they are making it. Before that other woman says, hey, I with you, I salute you, they will literally try to bring you down to the ground. Mm-hmm. And we all want the same things. And I think gone on Facebook so very regularly. And they post the Chanel bag and they post that they're away and they post that they're eating this and then they're eating that. But China left the secret of the bag. Like anybody could get this bag, you know, friend.
Yeah.
Anybody could go and have shrimp and lobster. We could go to Bahamas Food Services and buy a 20-pound bag for $11. Like anybody can do this. But I think women have this thing with them and they don't celebrate. I find that women don't celebrate other women. And I also think that all of us have gone through some things. Mm-hmm. We are going to go through divorce. We are going to go through infertility. We're going to go through infidelity. We're going to go through the loss of whatever it is. But nobody understands that we ain't past that until we dead because it's going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. So how do you bridge that gap? Hold on, this text is for you. Kenny, I've been waiting to hear this woman's voice on the radio since you had her on the last time. I love to hear her. She makes me feel comforted. Can you please ask her for the number? I don't want to go to therapy with anybody else than her. I love to hear her voice. Can you give the number again or the website, please?
So the website is www.beyondourhealth.com. All bookings are through the website, and you can just book a consultation if you're not sure about what you're looking for.
So you said that it's an online platform. So does explain what that means in case anybody else is listening and they're not 100% sure, please.
When you go to the website, the reason I'm saying it's an online platform, because it's almost like you're shopping for what you're looking for. So I have about 8 therapists there, 2 speech therapists, 2 massage therapists that will come to you, 2 personal trainers, and an aromatherapist. And so it's a platform because it's a plethora of services all under one roof, where I'm trying to get people to understand there's multiple ways to deal with the issue. If you don't feel like talking, because I know maybe human people don't always want to talk, you could still exercise, right? And do it the right way with a personal trainer. If you're having children that's having difficulties with speech and language delays or developmental delays, you can take them to a speech therapist, right? There's different ways to deal with the issue rather than talking. But if you do want to talk, I have some very qualified people on that website who'd be able to sit down with you and speak with you about what's been going on.
Okay, this text reads, last time I opened up, she turned my pain into gossip. Kenny, she was actually a friend. Never again. This next text reads, if I admit I'm struggling, people will think I can't handle my own life. I manage a multi-billion dollar. That's it. It just went off. Okay, this next text reads, I shared my struggles once, and it was used against me in an argument. Women have a way of throwing things up in your face, especially if they have an audience. What I shared with her was about a personal issue with my husband and I. But when row day came, she threw it in my face. Mm-hmm. I was looking for someone to comfort me. She was my best friend. This next text reads, the moment you ask for help, some people treat you like you're weak.
Mm-hmm.
What say you?
I do agree with that. I want to throw out a couple of phrases here. The first one is intergenerational trauma. The second one is learned helplessness. And then the third one is self-sabotage. So, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We are right here.
It got so quiet. Okay, so I think that this sense of learned helplessness comes from the community that teaches us to not rely, right? Like, I cannot rely on, you need to be able to, like I said earlier, like you have to be strong. You need to handle those things alone. And if you can't handle it alone, then you're weak. And so you're teaching me that if I am not able to do it by myself, I'm helpless. So this is what we mean by learned helplessness. Well, this is one of the things we mean by learned helplessness. It means several things, right? And some of this comes from the aspect of intergenerational trauma, which is a term that I've been using a lot lately when I do speeches and talks, because I need human people to understand that generation upon generation upon generation, they pass down this hurt and the same idea of you need to be strong, you need to be able to handle it. And then you have people who, like the person who said that it happened once, and it's like a one and done, right? Why is it a one and done? Is everybody in the world going to be the exact same way? Is everyone going to treat you the exact same way? Why do you box yourself in? Like I was talking about earlier, where we have this like mentality that keeps us stuck, right? Because we keep going back to, I'm afraid or I'm anxious about doing this again. Because what if, right? So whenever you say what if, the anxiety comes in. And so the learned helplessness teaches us to stay stuck. And the learned helplessness comes from society and what they're teaching us about how to ask for help and the culture around asking for help.
How do we break the cycle? How do we get out of that mentality of, it happened one time, so maybe it won't happen, maybe you're gun shy. Because if you did it to me once, someone's going to do it to me again.
What my answer is going to be something people might not like, because I was like, it's about trust, but that's something else that a lot of people have difficulties with, right? So if it happens once, and you, like you say, you're gun shy, but like the way to get out of that is to challenge the anxiety, challenge the negative thoughts, right? How do I know that this person's going to do this? Have they done this before? I think we kind of ignore the flags. Now people talk about ignoring red flags all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People will usually show you who they are. You just have to know what to look out for, right? So are they talking about everybody else's business? When they say things, if someone brings something to them and you're standing there, do they shut it down and say, no, I'm not interested in handling or talking about anybody so-and-so business? Are they people to make you feel safe? And what does that safety look like? Reassurance, validation. I know it's like so weird. It doesn't sound as kumbaya as it is. It comes in many different versions, but I'm giving people the language so they can understand that these are the things that need to be in place for you to have that safety. Because what's happening is you don't feel safe. And as long as you don't feel safe, you're not going to open up. You're not going to be vulnerable. You're not going to be connecting in ways that feel relevant or healthy for you. And so you end up having a lot of disconnect or false connections with people. And it just turns into that hurt that we was talking about earlier.
So when you mention trust, how do you build trust? How do you get to a point of I can trust you?
I think a part of wanting to trust people is to be open-minded first. You have to be open to wanting to trust. And as much as people don't like to admit it, you need relationships to heal from relationships. You need relationships that show you different, show you healthier avenues and pathways, create new brain pathways for you to heal from the ones that hurt you, unfortunately.
This text reads, the best way to get over is to get under someone else.
I know that was coming.
Oh my God. My people.
Coming.
I would have never thought of that. I would have never thought of that. This text reads, admitting I need help feels like failure. But if I agree that I have failed, how do I redeem myself? How do I start to do the work first?
Might I?
Yes.
So part one, this is not a class of pass fail. It isn't that you pass life or you fail life. This is not A or B. Like this, there's so many things in between that, right? So what makes you think it's failure? Just because you don't get it right or it doesn't go the way that you want it doesn't mean that you have failed. Leave room for you to be able to grow. The growth mindset says, hey, I didn't get it right this time, but hey, I know better for next time. And if it's something where you need help, hey, I tried to do this by myself. It didn't really work out. See, with power in the tongue, it didn't really work out. Let me try and see if there's someone that I trust or someone that I can bring into this who won't throw it in my face, make me feel like an idiot, or shame me for bringing them on when I know that this really couldn't do by myself. So I want you to start with addressing the mentality of pass fail, because it's not necessarily you pass in life or you fail in life. It's, yeah, I did really good in this thing. That's fantastic. Celebrate my win. And if I didn't do it, it didn't go the way that I wanted it to, but that leaves room for me to grow and be better at trying it again, right? Because if you decide to say fail, that's almost like you going down the drain, you're going down the rabbit hole, Alice. And like, there's no coming back out of that. So it isn't, I'm going to try again. It's, I put it to the side and I never want to pick it up again. So start with the mentality of understanding that it's not necessarily that you failed. It's that it didn't go the way that you wanted it to go. Cause that's really what it is. It didn't go the way that you wanted it to go, but I can try again and, you know, try it a different way.
I think social media plays a huge role, because we see the perfect pictures, mm-hmm. and we see that everything is very choreographed and everybody is dressed in the pink shirt and the pink dress and everyone's looking so perfect, but nobody really tells the true story of what it takes to get to a 20-year business or what it takes to fail. I mean, you know, as an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
you have some weeks where the phone rings and you can do well. And then there are some weeks when the phone does not ring at all.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody is prepared to talk about that. And then we're not prepared to say, maybe if I network with this person, or maybe if I reach out and say to this person, hey, you know, I offer soft skills training, or hey, I offer to pack garbage bags or whatever it is. People have a tendency not to want to share because of the vulnerability aspect and because of the Facebook aspect when they see everybody doing so well. But everybody have a struggle, and nobody nobody wants to be honest about it.
Every single person.
I kid you not when I say everybody out here faking.
I find it to be useful to be transparent. I actually was just watching an old TikTok video that I created talking about, like, you know, the struggle of like going off to school and why I came home and what's going on with that. Being an entrepreneur in the Bahamas is very difficult. Even more so doing something that Bahamians still have yet to believe in, right? So it's, I'm trying to get mental health out there and y'all telling me mental health don't exist. So not only do I have to fight the entrepreneur battle, I have to fight the mindset, the attitude, the stigma, all of the things. And it's not just me, it's me and my colleagues, all of us have to fight that constantly, right? And so you're right, sometimes the phone doesn't ring, but I don't necessarily see that as a failure on my part. It comes to me as, what else can I do? What else can I do to bring it to you anyway, even if you don't come into my office? You see, that's why I have like the educational TikToks. And I also just created some eBooks so that people can read if they want that. So like some how-to manuals so that they could be able to say, okay, I have the tools, I have the resources. Now it's up to you to use them, because you ain't talking to nobody. You're not going to therapy. So how can we still give you the information without you sitting in someone's chair?
And that's what you have to do. You have to pivot.
Yep.
Because I kid you not when I say to you, being an entrepreneur in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is not easy, because you deal with mental health. You deal with all the facets of what mental health is.
Yeah.
You talk about the aromatherapy. You talk about the massage. You talk about the fact that you have a plethora of people at your disposal. It's not a one-stop shop. You're multifaceted, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what happens for people that are in a different type of business? Like I'm in public relations, communications, marketing, project management. And you have some people that have the inside scoop. They have that inside contract that gives them $40,000 and $20,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And you just coming along with your thing. You have the expertise, you have the wherewithal. But they have the inside scoop because of who they know and who they're connected to. So it's not you saying, hey, I failed. You just have to get up and keep trying, because you only need one yes.
Yep. I built this company brick by brick by myself. And I just did a wellness fair where I spoke to the minister. I was telling her, like, she was like, you need to be in the media. And I told her, well, I don't have any funding. Like, I'm doing this all out of my own pocket. Like, as things happen, I do it. Like, I didn't apply for any grants. I didn't apply for any funding. I got the private practice, like everything by myself. And so it is very, very much so like a context of who you know, that also helps people like feel like, if I'm being honest, that also shifts people's desire to ask for help as well. Right? Because it's just like, well, I don't really know nobody like that, so I probably ain't going to get it, so I might as well don't ask. You know that kind of mentality?
I get, listen, I'm going to say this to you, and I say this to you without any hesitation. I don't know anyone. I did Mummy Hustle, and one day I will tell the story of how that came to be. Mm-hmm. I started a professional career at the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism and Aviation, and my loftier dream is to one day become the Director General of the Ministry of Tourism and Aviation. That is my dream. That is my goal. I know tourism. They said at that time, the Director General that was there, oh, you have to have a specialized master's degree in this particular subject. I went and I got that, and I still didn't get the post. And that's neither here or there, but I will say to you, You have to, and I'm saying this every single day on Facebook to people that are watching or that are listening. You have to go out there and you have to post every day. There is someone looking for your service. There is someone that needs your service. I am telling you, you have to ask for help though. You have to stretch your hand across the divide and ask for help. And if you see people shady, you just leave them alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's this particular agency, right? Whenever I see them, they have every contract locked right down. Every contract they have locked down.
Yep.
And every time they see me, they're trying to push a camera or push a microphone in my face. And the last time I went out, I said, hey, don't push this camera and this phone in my face, because you've never given me a job. Not one day. And I've asked to reach out. I've asked to, can we collaborate on this? But they don't want to share. Everything is for them. So you have to figure out who you're going to ask for help. And you mm-hmm. can't ask everybody is the truth.
Because you also have to be okay with no, right? A lot of people have.
And you have to be okay with no.
A lot of people have a very weird relationship with rejection. And weird because it's kind of just like, yeah, I don't feel like asking for help because I don't want nobody to reject me. It's like, you have to be okay with the no. You're not going to get all yeses, but you're going to get some yeses.
And you only need one yes, but you cannot be afraid to hear no. You cannot be afraid to hear no. The no is a part of life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think we have to normalize hearing no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to normalize it. Let me read this. My text line is very annoyed with me right now. Oh boy. All right. Okay. Kenny, you talking to this woman? Get her on the stage when we have the next event. What next event? Do they know that you came to my last, that you were on?
I was on the stage on the first event.
She was on the stage. Okay, thank you very much. All right. Strength has been defined as silence, but at mm-hmm. what cost?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I can't trust others, I'll just rely on myself. And I've realized that relying on self is at a detriment to myself.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
I get up for work each day and I pretend that I'm okay. But I drive home in silence. I drive to work in silence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This next text reads, If I speak up, will my circle shrink? Nobody wants to talk about what being a mother really is. Can I tell you that I'm sitting in the driveway and I'm reluctant to go inside? Not because I don't have help, but because I'm tired of being a mother every single day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Text me, we can talk after. Talk to us about that.
Me?
Yeah, talk to us
about that.
Yeah, what this woman said, talk to me about, she said, does anyone talk about being tired of being a mother?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's sitting in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? What does that mean to you?
To me, it sounds like frustration. And honestly, like, I first want to say I understand and I hear you. Know that you're seen. Because reality is, I do have clients that feel this way as well. And it's a point where it's just, it's frustrating. It's difficult. It's hard. You still have to show up every day for someone else. And you're still trying to show up for yourself. And sometimes, I know you said it's not about help, but sometimes you don't get the help. Or you get the help and it's not the help that you need. It's the help that they felt like they needed to give you, which creates more frustration and stress, right? And it's not that you like, you know, it doesn't sound like you hate being a mother. It's just that there are going to be moments that are very frustrating and make you question, you know, if you're cut out for it. And the reality of the situation is that's hard. That is very, very hard, because you don't get in a moment from that person is born, especially if they stay with you forever. Well, not forever. Well, till they're adults. You don't get a moment to say, hey, let me just... A lot of people feel like they don't get a moment to say, let me just separate and kind of take care of myself, because there's always someone to take care of, especially if you have young kids, right? I hear this from mothers quite often, if you believe that, because it's just like, whoa, I'm still trying to learn myself. And now I have to learn somebody else and be responsible for them. And it doesn't make you a bad mother to feel that way. And I'm actually proud of you for voicing that, because that's very real to your experience. And so it's really important that you put some self-care in there and take some moments to yourself. Like, you sit in your car right now, take a few deep breaths, and kind of just, you know, prepare yourself to go into the house. Because the reality of the situation is, you ain't gonna stop being a mom, right? I mean, like, you still gotta go in the house and take care of the kids. So it's what are the little things that you're doing to kind of break away and clear your mental to make sure you're taking care of yourself? That is what I would like to know.
She responds, some days I feel like I'm running on fumes.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, provider, peacemaker, everything. Mm-hmm. I love my kids more than anything, but somewhere mm-hmm. along the way, I lost the me that existed before motherhood and divorce. I'm not mm-hmm. giving up, but I'm tired. I just need a moment to breathe, to remember I'm more than the roles I fill for everyone else. Could I say this to you? Last week, Friday, two girlfriends and I had the same conversation. One is very, very liberal, and she's like, Kendra, she was just to the point where she had to tell her children, like, you know, like, F these kids, she need a break. And that's exactly what she did. Yeah. And then the other one was like, oh, you have to be careful how you speak to the children because children carry trauma. And then we don't know how the children are going to relate and da, 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 da. And as a mother and as a divorced woman, it is a lot. And sometimes these children that you put so much into, they disappoint you in a mammoth way. And sometimes it's a lot just dealing with their constant needs all the time. But who really has time to figure out about your needs? And I understand where she's coming from. I understand what this woman means.
You have to take care of yourself too. I mean, just because you're a mother doesn't make you any less a human being that has needs and that has like self-care. Like, especially if you're going to work, you're talking about burnout levels very high, right? Because you're not balancing all of it, or like not you're not balancing it. You feel like you're juggling rather than balancing. Does that make sense?
Yes. It does make sense.
Right. And so it's the juggling is harder than balances. Balancing is we can put it all on an even plane and we're able to hold this. But juggling, you have to constantly be moving and being aware of where everything is at the same time because you're always moving. So it's really, I urge to all people that do feel this way, or even the people that were talking earlier about, you know, vulnerability and being open, please take care of yourself. And taking care of yourself isn't how to get over someone, get under. And it's not the alcohol and the drugs. It's more so just little brief things that you can do at your desk, at home. I think people think that self-care is a vacation, but you take too long to get to the vacation, hun. You got to be able to do some things on the in-between to be able to take care of your mental health, because mental health is a daily practice. It's a daily practice. And so y'all, the experiences you guys talk about is very real. Very real to some of the things I hear about.
The texter responded again, and she says, I'm exhausted, not just physically, but deep down in my soul. Being a mom, being divorced, carrying everything alone, it's like I'm always on and never allowed to fall apart. I miss the woman I used to be before life became a constant fight to keep it all together. Kenny, you just saw me yesterday when you were coming out of the barbershop, but maybe you didn't see me because I passed so quickly. I wonder who this is.
My thought is www.beyondourhealth.com. Let's have a chat.
Yeah, let's have, send me like a message. Send me like a message, and then Curry, give the information again.
You want me to send it in the message, or you want me to give it online?
Give it out online, because I'm getting the texts as they come in. So give it to me again. Say it again.
So if you can go online to www.beyondourhealth.com. You could Google it too. I come up on Google. I'm Raquel Curry. You can book a consultation with me, but there are also other therapists that would be very, very open to helping you navigate this experience.
All right. Let me read these other two texts. I'm more than a mother, and I'm afraid to ask for help. The person that I thought I would be able to ask for help is unalive, but right now I can't even find that other part of me. This next text reads, divorce didn't break me, but this constant grind of motherhood is wearing me thin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the mother's in the chat.
The texter is calling me back. Chris, can we take a quick break, please? Raquel, she's calling me. I'm going to answer the call, please.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone. Think you left me broken down, think that I'll come running back. Maybe you don't know me cause you're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller, doesn't mean I'm lonely.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course.
We trouble if they find out?
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here, and then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive. Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out. Move mountains. We're gonna walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,008 times again.
Good evening, good evening, Bahamas. We are back in this, as most Kenny Corners conversation, we've taken it to another level. And I appreciate my texters, and I appreciate my callers, and we are going to get that one particular texter. We're going to get her this evening, because this is what the conversation is about. Let me read some more of my text. And this text reads, Kenny, this is amazing that you have these conversations, because throughout the day, we talk politics all day, all night. But nobody ever gets to the meat of the problem, trying to figure out where our mental capacity is. I think what we fear most is judgment. I think mm-hmm. what we don't seem to understand is the fact that there are so many things that go on in a day that cause so many issues. For instance, the traffic. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, the traffic is good. When there's time for school, the traffic is hideous and it makes you annoyed. You have mm-hmm. to get up 5:30 to get to a job for 9. Nobody sees that. I don't think we learned anything in COVID. I think we're just going at it as business as usual. And mm-hmm. we have everybody playing political games. Do we avoid our problems because we fear judgment or because we fear change? Maybe if we changed, we wouldn't have so many of the systematic problems that we currently have. Mm. I want to say thank you to you for having this type of show. But I also await for the sex show, because that's what I tuned in for today. I'm sorry. This next text reads, when was the last time you told the truth when somebody asked you straight?
Me?
I don't know if this is a question for me or...
If the question is for me or you, me? Is that a true child? I ain't got time.
Okay, so I could tell you the truth. Nobody really asks me if I straight. So yesterday, Jim Anita messaged me for some... And she asked me to get something for her. Something she asked me to do. And I said, yeah, Jimmy, this is the information right here. And I asked her how she was doing, because her dad recently passed. And she said, Kenny, how are you? And I responded and I said, truthfully, I said, I don't know.
Mm.
And then there's this lady, my mom used to work with her mom at the bank, Laverne Thompson. And she messaged me. She said, Kenny, I was just checking on you, blah, blah, blah. And I appreciate that, because nobody really asks, like, hey, you straight? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have maybe one. I have a very, very small circle, very, very small. And they'll ask, right? But mm-hmm. people don't really recognize when you go silent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is that if I have jobs, if I have work, if someone calls me to write something or someone calls me to speak on something, I'm okay. But when the silence comes, that's when you are alone with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the scariest part.
That's the scary part. Because you wonder, like, could you have done this differently? Could I have thought about this differently? Like I said to Ruben night before last, I was like, Ruben, like, you think mommy knew that it was her last, like, that's her last breath? Like, you think mommy knew? Like you wonder these things. And so your mind wonders. This is a text that I want to get through. What would happen if we admitted out loud, I'm not okay? What do you think, Ari?
Well, it depends on who you admit it to, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I was talking about earlier, you got to know your crowd. If you know, you talk to saying it to them, because you can't expect everybody to care. That's just not the world we live in. We don't live in a world. You got to be realistic and hopeful at the same time, but also pay attention to behaviors. So if you admitted, I am not okay, depending on who you're talking to, that person can either talk to you about it, or, you know, I've heard the, well, go pray about it. I've heard the, and then the people who are more, you know, this is a matter of emotional intelligence and emotional maturity, right? Where you sit down with that person and say, you know, like, well, do you want to talk about it, or do you just need space? Like, do you need space to talk about it, or do you just want someone to sit here with you and we don't actually have to speak? Because sometimes it's not always just space, talking. It can also be presence. Everybody's different. And so if you say to someone, no, you know, I'm not actually not okay, I would actually kind of say a little bit more and let that person know what you need. You need to vent, or do you need them to just Do you need them to vent? Do you need to vent and let them listen? Or do you actually need practical advice? What do you need? And it's really important in order to do that, you have to know what you need. Because then people say, well, how can I help? And then you'll be the first one to say, well, I don't know. Well, you kind of need to know a little bit, something, so that you can give me something to kind of help you with when you do ask for help. Because then when you don't know, you leave it up to me to then decide what I would like to do or what I think is the right thing to do to show up. And that's not always what you want. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, because I need to know what I want in order for me to tell you what I need.
Correct.
Okay. So you mentioned prayer just now, and this text reads, why is it easier for us to pray for rain than to see a therapist?
Culture, socialization, what we've been taught. I've heard so many of my clients talk about their loved ones saying, oh, you know, Jake, you gotta just pray, right? Because they're always been seen as something medically clinical, you know, you're crazy. And so people don't feel comfortable sharing, just talking to someone, that's not true, because people will tell their business on the KFC line. So while they're waiting for their chicken. So that's not true. It's mainly the thought of going to someone that specializes in the mind that makes them feel crazy based on what they would have learned from society. And that's not true. So it's easier for them to say, let me do what's socially acceptable than to challenge. Like the person talked about earlier, is it judgment or should we, like, is it fair change? It's fair change. But I'm going to let you know, this new generation and you know, a lot of us are shifting our dynamic to going to therapy. When my company offered free therapy, and we will be offering free therapy again very shortly, doors revolving door. Multiple people kept coming through and using the service, which I thought was really great. So the country, and I also was able to do free therapy for people on the family islands as well. So the country is shifting to being more open, and I would say because of COVID, to talking to people. But we have to address that crazy stigma. I'm not, you know, ain't nothing wrong with me. Ain't enough to be wrong with you. Don't come to me if you feel like that kind of way, because it's going to be hard for me to break down those walls to actually see the work being worthwhile.
This text reads, Kenny, I want you and this woman on this radio to stop playing. Y'all need to be on the radio during the day. I want you to understand something. Therapy was easier for me than coming out to both of my parents. And so that is exactly what I did. I went to therapy, then I asked my parents to come with me to therapy. And then I said to them in the front of my therapist, Mommy, Daddy, I'm gay. This opened the door for me and it allowed me to be who I was. But the funny thing about it is my mom said, I knew from you. This next text reads, are we ready to admit that mental health is just as real as physical health? I think not. It's easier. It's easier for us just to pretend as if everything is okay. This next text reads, how long can we keep pretending before cracks start to show? This next text reads, do we want healing or do we just want to look like we all have it together, like the people on Facebook?
Social desirability. Do I want to be desirable to society? Right? A lot of people do. They want the glitz and the glamour, and they will neglect. It's so interesting because even the glitz and the glamour, you still self-sabotaging and you still have very toxic behaviors behind those closed doors, and your mentality is still causing you, you know, detriment. So what are we really glorifying?
What are we really glorifying? Because I follow Lisa Hanna, right? And Lisa Hanna has the epitome of what a female politician should be. And I hate to say a female politician, right? But she carries herself with grace and honor and respect. And she's true to herself. She is sexy. She is uberly intelligent. And she's resourceful. And she doesn't hide who she is. She embraces who she is. And she said something that was very profound. She said, this power is fleeting. It doesn't even belong to me. And she said when she was done, she left with grace. Do you know what it is to lead with grace? This text reads, everybody laughing, but who checking on the ones smiling the loudest?
You're laughing the loudest, right?
No, it says everybody laughing, but who checking on the ones smiling the loudest? That's food for thought.
Yeah.
Because who recognizes who when you go silent?
You talking about me in personally, or are you talking about in general?
In general.
Right. You know, interestingly enough, I have to say, like, many, many thanks to my parents, because they definitely, they don't say nothing, but they just recognize. And then they just kind of be, I notice that they start to be, like, really sweet, and really attentive, and very kind, but they are not going to ask me. They ain't the type of emotional people to sit me down and say, we're going on. No, they're not going to do that. But they're going to be like, okay, our daughter's acting different than they usually are. We haven't seen them in a while, because I work with my parents as well, because I also do real estate. So I have to see them every day. And when they don't see me for a while, they're like, okay, what's going on? Like, we haven't seen you. Come over for something to eat. Like, what's going on? And, like, of course, this is why it's so important to have, and not everybody has the benefit to have their parents to do that, right? So in general, it's about either your family or your chosen family. The people that you choose to take care of you, and vice versa. One of the problems is the reciprocity in this country and in these relationship dynamics is very, very rare. So it's, you are people pleasing, you are taking care of the other person, you have this learned helplessness where I have to take care of everyone else, but I don't know what it is to be taken care of. I don't even know what that is. And I'm like, when was the last time you did self-care? What is self-care, right? So the question then becomes, well, one, how are you trying to unlearn these patterns? What are you doing to unlearn these patterns? And then part two, who are you inviting into your space to help you unlearn those patterns? Or are you inviting people who are familiar to the hurt and the learned helplessness, who feed that people-pleasing tendency to then emulate it over and over, and then you end up getting the same thing over and over again and saying, oh, well, I guess that's what life is. No, it's not. Unlearn your patterns. Have people in your circle who help you unlearn those patterns. Remember, we need relationships to heal from relationships. Have people in that circle that help you heal from those patterns, and then have that growth mindset that I can separate from what was.
Let me ask Chris, if we can go until 8 o'clock, send me a thumbs up, or if we can go until 7:45, send me a thumbs up, because I have more messages.
Hot topic, even though they want to hear about sex.
Chris send me a thumbs up. What does this mean, Chris? 7:45, Chris, or 8 o'clock? 7:45? Let me know, Chris. Let me know. Because I know Chris probably have a hot date tonight, so I can't keep Chris too late. But in the meantime, I will read these other texts. Okay, so we can go till 7:45. Curry, you have anywhere to be? I'm sorry.
No, ma'am. I'm all yours.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, why are we more comfortable gossiping than being honest about our pain? That's a question for you, Curry.
The comfort comes from familiarity. That's what you're familiar with. And then also kind of just like you said earlier, we like to see what other people are doing. We like to, the social desirability. So we're more comfortable gossiping about what other people are doing to, and in a lot of ways, sometimes it's to make ourselves feel better. Well, you see what happened to Karen yesterday. Right. But sweetheart, you black and blue. So like it's, they want to, people want to engage in other people's demise, and sometimes to make themselves feel better, sometimes to demean the other, because especially if it's someone who feel like they've been pedestalized, it's so many reasons why people would prefer to gossip rather than look internally and deal with their own issues. Because I'd rather deal with your issues, right? I go on Facebook to look at other people. I go on Instagram to look at other people, not myself. So we have actually been culturalized. That's not even a word. We've all actually been socialized to look at other people's lives and constantly critique it.
Do you believe in this saying, and I've seen it so many times, people want to see you do good, but just not better than them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a real thing?
Yeah, I do. There are some people like that. Is that everybody in the world? Absolutely not. But are there people in the world like that? Absolutely.
But where you get that from? Like, I mean, were you raised on love or were you raised on survival? Because why it matter if you have this and I have something? Why can't everybody have something?
So you asked a very important question about being raised on love and being raised on survival. And a lot of people within the Bahamas have been raised on survival. And they think of it as love. So love then becomes survival. Right? Love a lot of times means something I have to earn. I have to earn your love. I need to do something to earn your love. And that's why I keep coming back to that phrase, learned helplessness, right? Because you teach yourself that I have to earn this love. And so it becomes a lot of what you're talking about, right? And so people have to now find different identities and something else in order to grow.
This text reads, how much longer we can keep sweeping mess under the rug before the rug trip us down?
I feel like people just wait for the rug to trip them down. And I tell, like, I can say this on the radio because I tell people all the time, don't come to me when the pile is high, because it is too difficult to be able to say, okay, let's take this blow by blow, because then you become impatient with the process. Come to me when you see things kind of going a little awry. And you're like, okay, this is kind of out of the norm. And like someone said earlier, you don't notice how the little bits and pieces are now all adding all together until you finally burnt out. But you was tired before. You was losing sleep a long time. You was losing sleep from 3 weeks ago. Why didn't you say anything? And I think, like I said to you before, I don't think people know what to look out for, right? So you're looking out for the loss of sleep. You're looking out for the boredom or not feeling like you want to do things that you normally do. You're looking out for the eating more or less, binging TV more or less. You're looking out for the common signs that, hey, distress is near, because your body sometimes tells you before your mind does. Don't wait till the rug high, please. Stop tripping. Double it and give it to somebody else. I don't like that. As a therapist, I'm going to say it out loud. I don't like when people do that.
So this is another text that reads, we quick to call people crazy, but slow to admit we stressed out too. Can I say that? I think as women, like, you sit in this circle, right? And I think women feel like superior to the next one. Oh, well, I don't pay no bills. You don't? Okay, that's great for you. But you sit in a circle and you say, you say these things and you never really try to figure out what's behind it. Things that people say. Do we admit that we have stress on different levels? Will we ever say that I'm stressed out here, but not stressed out there? Will we ever say that? Does it look like defeatist if we say, I can't be honest? Tell me, Ms. Gary.
Some people do, but it definitely does look defeatist if we feel like, you know, if we aren't being honest, right? There's this self-infliction. It's almost like, yeah, you ain't physically cutting yourself, but you are. It's self-abandonment. Because you can't come to the table and say what's going on, right? And people do have this defeatist attitude. And again, they think in black and white. Either I'm, same pass-fail mentality. Either I'm passing or I'm failing. And it's just like, there's so many variables in between that. Rather than thinking that, once again, that you're failing, you know, look at, readdress, right? Challenge those thoughts and look at it from a more positive, compassionate standpoint.
This text reads, ask the therapist for me, please, Kenny, if staying with a man who I know cheats on me, but because I have small children and I can't do any better, I stay. Does that make me less of a person?
I was so glad. So no, it doesn't make you any less of a person. Let's start though. It does not make you any less of a person. So all y'all who roll in y'all eyes and aha and in y'all cars and in y'all houses, no, it doesn't make her any less of a person. However, there's something that you said that erased everything else. Can you repeat the
She says, how does it make me look if I'm staying with a man, staying with my husband for finances? Does it make me any less of a person? I have small kids.
Yes. She said something that I can't do better or something like that.
I can't do any better.
That is your downfall.
No, she said, I know that I can't do any better.
Yeah. That right there is the plight of your distress. Why? Thinking immediately that you cannot do any better is the plight of your distress. It's like cheating and having small kids. I don't speak on that, primarily because I don't know what to tell people. Like, there's so many ways of these things go. But the part that you said, I know that I can't do any better, that's the crux of it, right? Knowing and saying to yourself, having that core belief of such a negative implication is what's going to keep you stuck. Because the minute you feel like you can't do better, you won't do better. And that doesn't make you a bad person either. It just makes you a person that needs to reevaluate themselves and their own worth. Because the measurement of your worth isn't based on any financial needs or what you could produce or your productivity. It's what you inherently have.
But she didn't even give us sufficient information. You say you know that you can't do better. Do you know that you can't do better? Or you think that you know that you can't do better because you don't work, you're uneducated, the children have special needs, the man make all of the money. Like, but what do you mean you can't, you know you can't do no better?
There is nothing that she can say to make me agree with that statement.
I mean, but it's such an open and it's so loaded.
Yeah, very loaded statement. That's why I was like, whoa, I'm so glad that you couldn't see my face, because I was just like, what? That statement right there is very, very, very deep. It's very deep. And I feel like a lot of people, I've heard this before too, a lot of people feel this way. You know, and they will accept anything because they have that mentality. And it leads to a low sense of self-worth and self-abandonment.
Boy. Anyway, this text reads, is it that we can't trust people or we can't trust others to be real? Why wait until things mash up before we look for help? How many of us praying, Lord, help me, but refusing to talk to somebody? Why are we so comfortable with just going by the by? Mental health is a real thing. And I see why they call us a asshole country. Can we be honest about our pain? I think not. And the reason why we can't be honest with our pain is because we can't be honest with ourselves. If we were honest with ourselves, then we would be honest with each other. But because we are so used to lies, that is all that we perpetuate on a regular daily basis. I've become such a good liar. My partner has no idea of what's really going on. Yes, I do seek therapy, but I wonder if he will understand that, you know something, you don't do it for me the way you used to. I wonder if we will ever get to the point of our pain being our realization and speak truth to our purpose. Thank you for this opportunity. Can we do this again tomorrow? No, someone else on the radio tomorrow. this text reads, when last we admit... And this should be admitted. When last did we admit? But it says, when last we admit, no, I ain't good. I need somebody to hear me. I don't know when the last time we said that, because we don't really say that. Because we have our circle of friends, and every friend have a friend.
Yeah.
Every friend has a friend. If I tell you something, that ain't for you to tell nobody else.
Mm.
If I say something to you, that is not for you to tell your cousin or your sister. I told that to you.
Yeah.
And every friend of a friend, and when the story gets transferred, the story is different.
Yes, because it's through their lens and their filter and their interpretation, and they're going to pick out that, but not really talk much about much of what else is happening.
Oh, my God.
It's so common here. And that's why, the question of gossip, because we sensationalize the story. We romanticize the drama. Even if you look on TikTok, like, you would find stories where they talk about drama have go viral over something that's more like helping or like giving information. Why? Because we sensationalize drama. We love drama. We love other people's stories.
Yes, it's so sensationalized. It's ridiculous. This, we only have 3 more minutes because it's 7:41. This text reads, why we feel like asking for help is begging, or should be why do we feel? Why we feel like asking for help is begging. Curry?
Why do we feel like asking for help is begging?
No, it didn't say do. They legitimately said, wrote this how they speak. This says why we feel like asking for help is begging, and begging is B-A-G-G.
I think it's about a mindset, right? Understanding, it depends on how you were raised, right? Your childhood and your culture of thinking, you know, don't ask anybody for anything. Just, you know, be grateful for what you get. And remember, we talked earlier about like that fear of rejection. So I've heard people say, I ain't gonna beg, right? It's just like, but you wouldn't even ask first. Like, begging is asking repeatedly. Asking once is asking for help. Asking multiple times is now I begging you, right? Why do I feel like I'm begging you? It's also just like a misunderstanding of what help really is. Begging is one-sided. You take without giving. Like, you're begging me to do something, but true help is mutual. It strengthens bonds and gives others a chance to show that they care and make communities healthier, right? So if I'm asking you for help, it'll never be begging.
But if I ask you something once, if I said to you, could you help me find a job?
Mm-hmm.
And I see you helping everybody else, and I have to ask you again, I'm begging.
See, that's what I was saying. Like, it's like multiple asking for help. But then the reality of the situation is, depending on the dynamics of the relationship, if I ask you, help me. And if you can't help me, you're going to say so. If you care about me, you're going to help me.
This text reads, we rather watch someone sink than throw them a rope. Look at what they did with that young boy today with the nice curly hair. Look at how they did him. They couldn't wait for his downfall. This is typical Bahamians in action. How come we feel safer when everybody is broke, but vexed when someone start doing well? This
comparison.
Next
comparison is a thief of joy.
It's a stealer of joy. We quick to clap when people fail, but slow to cheer when they win. Why? This is another text. We say reach out if you need me, but do we really mean it? Kenny, this is a different topic and a different struggle. I know that it may seem very petty to you, but in the space of social media, we have to look at things and see them for what they are. I have various friends in various circles. When it's my birthday, they inbox me, they send me a WhatsApp. But when it's other people, they have 5-page essays and they celebrate them. Should I feel any type of way?
I'm not in the business of telling people how to feel.
No, I can't. I. What do you think? Okay, so let's take out the how should I feel. What do you think of that whole question?
Where it's, I say something and you give me breadcrumbs, but with other people you are more willing.
And you could inbox me. You could celebrate me in mm-hmm. private, but not in public. What does that mean?
Are you, like, do they value the relationship? Do they see you as a
as a not even just like a companion, like as an equal. Like, why am I hiding what I'm saying to you, but I don't hide what I say to other people? Do I value this friendship? Do I value, you know, or do I just not want anybody to see me congratulating you?
But can I tell you something? And I may pick and very childish perspective, but if you are my friend and I value you, I should be able to celebrate you in public.
Mm-hmm. And
if you are sending me inboxed messages about my triumphs, I find it very, very suspect. Because why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, sometimes maybe the person is a private person.
Garbage.
Like, I think if someone messaged me privately, I'd be like, thank you. Like, I wouldn't personally think of anything of it, because I, like, all the things that I do not post them at all, because I just don't care for the accolades. But, I think it also depends on the kind of person that you are. But I agree with you. If you're my friend, you would, boy...
I don't even know what type of person I am. I mean, people see me all the time, mm-mm. But I could be home. I could be home and I could love on my two people that are in my circle, mm-hmm. and I call it a day. You know, I don't have to be out and doing a bunch of stuff. But mm-hmm. if you said you're my friend, and if I celebrate you, celebrate me, man. And don't come on me. Don't come at me with the slick. Let's be authentic in our celebration and our recognition of each other. And if I ask you for help, I clearly asking you because I need it.
Right. Don't lord it over my head. Pull it and don't throw it in my face on rowdy. Like, teenagers, like, come on, do better.
Come on. I just have to read these last two texts because my text messages, I just have to say to my text message people and my people that inbox me on Facebook and send me my messages, thank you to Illustrative Artistry for getting my flyers out every single Tuesday. But my texters, I appreciate you because you make the show. You come with the drama. These are the last three texts.
Okay.
How we expect people to ask for help when we make them feel small for needing it. Why success does look like showing off, but struggle looks relatable. Oh, that's a good one. We say reach out if you need me. But do we really mean it? If we all in the same struggle, why not lift each other instead of holding each other down? Black crabs in a barrel, friend. That's what it is.
Black crabs syndrome.
Curry, you have the last 30 seconds. Could you take us out, please? Are you going to come back, Curry? Because my text has said he or she love your voice.
You know where to find me. I always think about the show, and offline I do want to talk to you about, you know, maybe us doing an event for mothers and daughters, because I realize that's something that's also been coming up a lot. But I just want to encourage people.
I don't have a mommy no more, right?
Yep.
Okay, so yep. I mean, like, how
that might be a hard one.
I could pull it together, you know, because I still have my daughter that I have to be concerned about.
Exactly.
I will safely say, like, my mother was very, very hard on me, and I am the eldest of two children. And what my mother left for me is not dollars and cents. And I would always want my relationship with my daughter to be much better than it was with my mom, because by the time my mom said she became a mother, my mother's the eldest of all our siblings, and these are her words exactly. I think my mom has 8 or 7 siblings, and my mom said she was the oldest, and she always says that word bastard, and she always made it very clear to me that if I had a child, I need to be married, because that's what she did. And she talked about how she felt as a child without a father, and how all of them have these different last names. And I want our mothers to know, like, even to the mom that is still on my call, who said that she's sitting in the parking lot, she's tired, she's divorced, she's asked for help. Nobody comes to help her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what help looks like for you, but we will take, I'm going to come to you right after this show is done. but it's a lot to be a mom. And there are many different facets that we pretend like we dress them up and put them on Facebook when it's for the first day of school and graduation and da da da. But nobody talks about clean your room, brush your teeth, do your homework, stay out of trouble, stop answering. Nobody talks about those things. And nobody talks about the trauma that the child deals with from divorce or the trauma that the child deals with from grief. Yeah. You know, we don't talk about those things.
So this is exactly why I want to have it, you know, just a kind of like same kind of energy like what we had with the panel, where we just get mothers in the room and have that shared experience. Because I think a lot of times they are the ones who are afraid to ask for help, or not afraid, but just feel like they have to have. And that's just been the symbol of womanhood for so long, right? And so I just want to encourage even just men and women, it doesn't really matter, or however you identify, to it's okay to ask for help. And it's okay to not be okay, because not everyone is, I mean, everyone's going through it and not everyone's going to talk about it, but that doesn't mean that you can't. Admitting you need help can feel like you're giving up control, even though it's actually an act of strength. Not everything that, my favorite quote, and this is how I'm going to end, my favorite quote, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing is changed until it is faced. James Baldwin.
And I think that you cannot conquer what you don't confront. And I guess people think that I'm very confrontational, but I will tell you exactly how I feel.
You're confrontational?
Like, Jesus, oh, Kenny, you had it again? No, it ain't that I had it again. You're just saying, tell me what you feel like saying. That's what you ain't gonna do. But ladies and gents, Beyond Our Health has been here with us. We went way, way, way past the time. Dwight, blimey, Dwight, we have gone to 8 o'clock. Oh my God. Thank you so much for this riveting conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And I guess like my texter said, your voice is so soothing. you bring a lot of reassurance to what it is that you have. Thank you so much to you and your host of Therapist, the Arouage, everything else that you have in your cadre. I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with us on Kenny's Corner this evening. Like my texter said, he thought he was tuning in to hear some sex talk. Next week, we'll have some sex talk. I promise you. Yeah. No, I may be on vacation next week. Oh, no, I'm going to be here. But thank you so much for tuning into Kenny's Corner. This has been another Sexy Tuesday evening. It's another opportunity for you to open your mind and have proper dialogue about the help that you may need. And there's nothing wrong with asking for help. And when you do ask for the help, be sure that you can cognitively say what type of help it is that you need. But for this evening, get yourself some popcorn and a bottle of wine, some rosé, if you will, even some champagne. Celebrate you, my love. This is Tuesday. It's Guardian 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk all day. You've been listening to Kenny's Corner, so go ahead and put your leg on that special someone and get you some popcorn. I'll see you next week, Tuesday, should life last.